So, one of the things that I think about, and I'm going to get going because my engine has already been idling long enough. But one of the things that I think about, as I'm trying to open my iPad, there we go. I think about a lot of things. And yes, I'm that guy. What do you mean by that? I'm that guy that wonders why hot dogs come 10 in a pack and hot dog buns come 8 in a pack. Okay. That never made sense to me. You know, I'm that guy who got in trouble because mommy said that I could not have Coca-Cola with breakfast. And I asked why. I'm infamous for that question. You say something to me, the first thing I'm going to say is why. And she told me that it was because all, quote unquote, all that sugar and caffeine isn't good for you. You would think that that would be enough for me, but it wasn't. I said, but you drink coffee with 6 sugar. That's all I got out. That's right. Next thing, breakfast was a knuckle sandwich. And you would have thought I learned. No, I'm not dense, just inquisitive. I like to know stuff. So I had breakfast. I had a glass of milk, and I had a slice of apple pie. And mommy came in the kitchen. Boy, what are you doing? I'm having breakfast. You can't have apple pie for breakfast. I said, but I can eat an apple turtle. I mean, things like that didn't make sense. Is there really? What's the difference between a apple turnover or a slice of apple pie? Same apple, same sugar, same crust. Same smack in the mouth. So I ask questions. And guys, you can go ahead and turn me on. And one thing's for sure, those of you that's been around here and those of you that's heard, for 40 years, not counting this year, the Christmas story has been taught in this place. For 40 years. And not just Kat, there was some great teaching. I'll never forget the God-man merger. That's probably my all-time favorite Christmas message. I did my own version of it. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a good message, but it wasn't Dad. It was different. But my point is, the Christmas story has to be more than just the birth of a child in a manger. It can't just be about that, because what happens is then it becomes rote. Every year you get the book, The Christmas Story, and you start reading the Christmas story, and the people, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Like Medea, hallelujah. But it has to be more than that. God had this recorded in the Bible for all eternity. And he didn't do it just to be blasé about it. He had to do it for a reason. And I believe every time we read that whole story, I like to use the word account because it's real. Every time you read that account, you should walk away with something different. You should see something different. Something about it where you say, oh, that's what it is. And you see application. Because there were things that they were operating in then that weren't even announced to us yet. It hadn't been said that the just shall live by faith then. Yet, but the whole birth took place because two people walked by faith and not by sight. So when I was looking at it, and I have to admit, this is the longest it's ever taken me to record a message, because I just kept seeing things and stopping and going back and looking, stopping and looking up, what does this mean? What's the significance of it? And they're really basic principles. So right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you. I just thank you that the words that I'm going to speak are only the words that you gave me. I'm only going to say what you tell me to say, do what you tell me to do, and I will not pull any punches, so you won't have to remove me from your lineup. And I thank you, Lord, that regardless of the words that you have me speak, each person will hear exactly what you need them to hear. And it'll be based on your purpose and your plan for their lives as individuals, as members of the body at large, and in particular, Lord, members of this congregation. So we just thank you, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, for the word that we're going to hear this morning. Amen. Everyone say, I'm ready. Turn with me, please, to Romans 23. Then we're going to go to John 3:16 and then Isaiah 9. You don't have to remember it all. I'll tell you again. And I'll tell you why we're reading them in a little bit. Romans 6, verse 23. Then we're going to go to John 3:16 and then Isaiah 9:6. But Romans 6:23, King James Version, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." John 3:16 and 17 in the King James Version says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In Isaiah 9, 6, verses 6 to 7 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That one right there is just popped out at me. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. It caused me right at this moment to remember Philadelphia 2005, when Brother Copeland was speaking a prophetic word to Pastor Sarah and telling her what was going to happen with this ministry, and then told her, "You don't have to do it." Why? The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I'm finding that every time I look at the birth of Jesus, I see another principle. I saw the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, for unto us a child is born. That in itself could be the Christmas story, because that tells you why and who and the results. It tells you that. But if you're just reading it as a story, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. There are things that took place during that time that we don't really talk about. See, it's not just the birth of Jesus. It's also an illustration. This is what God said. The birth of Christ is an illustration of how things turn out when one puts all their trust in God. When one is obedient to follow the voice of God and the promptings of the Spirit and stand strong. Listen to this, folks. And stand strong on what God has said to you, regardless of what comes or what you think may happen. Christmas story. If you read with the eyes of the Spirit, you'll see so many different things. The Christmas story is proof. It's hard proof that if you do what God says, how God says, and when God says, you'll experience exactly what God says. And you'll have exactly what God has. That's proof. Because so many things, most of the things that happen in the natural, you would say, impossible. Impossible. You'd be singing that song, impossible. I'm not going to sing anymore because you'll leave. But things will happen. Look at Genesis 1. With my understanding, the Christmas story starts there. In Genesis 1, I'm in a New International Version. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." What's left out of every? So that means there should not have been a creature in the garden that did not have to yield to the rule of Adam and Eve. Is that a fair statement? Well, forget fair, is that accurate? Okay. Then the Lord God put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Were those clear instructions? At any point did Adam say, "Lord, go over this one again. I didn't catch that." No, God spoke and his instructions were understood. Is that accurate? But man did not follow God's directions. Now that happened in Genesis. We're in 2021. Man is not following God's directions. He didn't keep the garden. He didn't rule over every creeping thing. He let Satan enter into the garden, and even more than that, he let him enter into the serpent. He had rule over them. That garden was his domain. Whatever he said happened. And he ain't say nothing. There is a lot of things going on in this world right now. Socially, economically, politically. And the church ain't saying nothing. Well, let me say it differently. The church ain't saying nothing to those situations. What's happening is we're saying stuff to each other about what we should be believing. We have a book in God knows how many different translations that already tells us what we should be believing. We need to get our faces out of TikTok. We need to get our faces out of the news and news periodicals and put them back into the book, the Bible, so that we again can clarify, this is what we do about this situation. This is how we speak. Or as Elder Valley would say, this is how we roll. But that was in Genesis. We're almost to Revelation. And we haven't gotten that. How many of you have someone in your life that you just love? 1, 2, 3, 4. Shout amen if you do.
Amen.
How many of you have a spouse? 3? Shout amen if you do.
Amen.
Now, your folks know you got to talk back to me. So you have someone that you the only person you love more is God. Would you sit by and allow that person to commit a sin that God said, if you do this, you will die? But Adam allowed his wife to be seduced. I don't care how saved I am. Ain't nobody going to come in my face and seduce my wife like I'm not there. There'll have to be a resurrection that occurs. But I mean, I can't just imagine that. You going to talk like that to my wife in my presence, knowing who God said that I am? And you're still going to do that? Oh, you know your eternal life is about to be ended. But Adam did that. He let his wife be seduced by a creature over which he had rule. And he allowed her to eat from the tree God said, don't eat. And then he ate from it. And they thought they were fine because they didn't die until the truth came out in them. And they placed God, who loved them, in a position. There was a saying when I was a child, and I did something wrong, I did something that my mommy thought was worthy of a spanking. And she always said something that I never bought till I became a parent. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I said, then don't do it. But God is now in a position where he has to invoke the penalty of sin upon his prized possession, mankind. And if that happens, the devil wins. So God had a plan. In Genesis 3, 15 to 19, I'm trying to present this practically so we can grab hold of the principles that it's talking about and we can see parallels. He said, and I will put enmity, hostility, bitterness, contention between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan, and her seed. It, meaning her seed, shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. But for that plan to work, there's some things that had to be considered and worked out. The first thing was, the woman has eggs, not seeds. So how can her seed bruise Satan? How can it crush his head? How can you take something that can't happen and make it happen? It can't happen, but he made it happen. What is it in your life that you think just can't happen? He had to have someone who did not have the sin nature, which ruled out Adam and Eve and all of their offspring. Because if he needed someone as a substitute, in order for it to work, they couldn't have any sin in them. And whoever he was going to use had to come to earth legally. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? How? For God so loved the world that he did what? And for unto us a child is, and unto us a son is. Okay? So God just couldn't go, ta-da! Poof. I mean, he could have, because he's God. But he's not going to break his own rules. So he had to have someone come. He had to have the Savior come the only legal way into this planet. And the only legal way is human birth. Look at John 10 quickly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is King James, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, the door to the sheepfold is human birth. Satan didn't come through human birth. Satan came because he thought he could fight and lost. And Jesus said, I saw Satan like lightning fall. So Jesus had to come into the world the same way all humans come in, by birth. But it had to be the seed of a woman. It could not be the result of man and woman coming together because he could not have that without a willful inclination to sin. So someone had to be born without the sin nature. That means someone had to be born without a man and woman coming together. Let's go to Luke 1, Amplified Bible. I'm going to read this with commentary. Now, in the 6 months after that, after Elizabeth was found to be with child, who was called barren, about 6 months after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin. And I'm wondering, why did God say that back then? Because the same stuff was going on. He said the girl has to still be a virgin and not being married. According to God's plan, the two are the same. But according with people, it's not. There are differences to that standard. But she was a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I'll get back to that in a minute. I'm just going to read through to verse 37 and then go back. It'll be faster. And he came to her and said, Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. Wow. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, What you talking about? No, she didn't have any issues, so to speak, with what he said. She wanted to know, how can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? Then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word. So the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth. That's why you need to stay put when God sends you somewhere. That's why you need to stay put when God sends you somewhere, because he's going to send a blessing to where you're supposed to be. Mary was where she was supposed to be. How many of you have been engaged?
I have.
Think about what you thought about during that time. Did you have wants, plans, desires, and hope? Did you? Thank you, Robin. I'm glad you did. Come on now. This is interactive. Did you have wants, plans, desires, and hopes? I mean, things were laid out. You knew what dress you were going to wear. You knew what you wanted him to wear. You didn't ask him. You just said, this is what you're wearing. But the angel came to her and said, hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Noah found grace with God. Same kind of grace. Noah found grace and God used him to save. Mary found grace. God used her to give birth to the one who would save. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he kept and what he said kept revolving around in her mind. What does that mean? You need to think about that. You have plans. You have everything set, and someone comes that just rocks your little boat, and you're thinking, what does all of this mean? I wanted to have this, 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 and this. But now I'm being told that's not going to happen. And I'm going to have a child with not all the benefits of conceiving that child. I'm just going to have a child and I'm not even married. What's my husband going, what's my fiance going to say? What's my family going to say? What are the town people going to say? You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He said, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of sons with Joseph. But the angel continued giving her the message from God, telling him how Jesus will. He'll be great. He'll reign over the house of Jacob. And again, the angel said, Mary said to the angel, okay, I get that part of it. How is this going to be? And that's a fair question, because having a conversation with an angel was new to her. It was new to her. She's like, how did you feel the first time you knew it was God speaking to you? Did he start out with fear not? Or he just started speaking? I remember the first time I audibly heard God's voice. I was in a car. I'm not going to tell you that whole story. I don't have time for it. But what I heard, I was crying because what I had planned wasn't working. And I heard clear as that Taco Bell, dong. You're running, but you're running in the wrong direction. I turned around in the car, ready for action, because I thought some of them got gotten in the car. Now, Anya, I'm in the middle. How many people live in? Anybody from Queens? Rochdale Village, Bedell Street? I was in the middle of Bedell Street. I stopped the car. No doors were open. No one could get in. But you're running, but you're running in the wrong direction. And I said, what did you say? And he said it again. You're running, but you're running in the wrong direction. I didn't have to ponder what that meant. I knew exactly what it meant. I just wasn't sure on how to do it, so I called Phyllis. And she was Phyllis Gray. No, she was Phyllis Walcott. And she said, you really need to go to church with me. And I'm like, yeah, I said I'd go, but you didn't bring it up anymore, so I was just going to leave it alone. But the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. The power of the Most High, said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. So what is it that's going on in your life that you think nothing can be done? You're trying to figure out, how is this going to be done? The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. Nothing's changed. You just have to believe that nothing is impossible for God. That's all you have to do. The minute you get to that place, done. Done. And you'll see that holy thing that will develop. Because you believed the word from God. That should keep you steady in unsteady times. That should erase any concern as to whether or not something will happen. If God said it, it's going to happen. Period. Mary didn't have 66 books. She didn't have apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. She had Gabriel. And it didn't say Gabriel stood with her all through that time to answer any questions she might have. He said what God told him to say, and then he left. Interestingly enough, Jesus said, when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Doesn't say he's going to take you by the hand and stay there and make sure you do everything you're supposed to do. He said he will testify of me. He's going to remind us that we have the Christ. He's going to bring things back to our remembrance. Most of the time, I believe it's things that we've said, like, yes, Lord. And he'll show you things. See, he told her things to come. He's going to show us things to come. I'm sure if she'd seen it, it would have been easier for her. But she didn't. We get shown things to come, and we still have the nerve to form our mouth to say, I don't want to do that. When did you become God? That's the question. Have you really read the Christmas story? The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and that thing you bring forth will be exactly what God called you to do. Exactly. If you do follow every step that he gives you. Verse 36. Listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. When I read that, you know what I heard? God will confirm his word with signs following. Mary figured, if God can make Elizabeth pregnant, hey, here I am. And I'm not old. I did a little research. You know what age they usually were engaged? 13. So I don't know if Mary was 13, 14, but she was more than likely a young teenager. So yes, it is possible for teenagers to make godly decisions. You give them the right information. And you live the right life before them. This is why, see, Mary was aware of Elizabeth's barrenness. And she was probably aware of, you know, what the word on the street. I could see Elizabeth coming from the marketplace and passing by they, quote unquote. Who are they? They the people always saying stuff. You know, they said. They're saying, she's barren. She's probably aware of that. Say, why am I saying that? I'm trying to get you to think of things the way people think. Everybody didn't walk around, oh, let's pray for her. She's barren. When things like that happened, they thought something was wrong with you. That God was punishing you. I wonder what sin she committed where she can't have any children. Even if that was the case, ain't none of your business. But today we have people who like to meddle in your business. You can push all of that out and not be swayed a millimeter by anything they say. Why? Because nothing, no word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word, no matter how ridiculous it may seem to someone else. I mean, if they listened to people, the Wright brothers would have been the wrong brothers because they had never created the airplane. But he said, if God wanted us to fly, he'd have gave us wings. He did. He just called them airplanes. I can't imagine having to go to Tulsa by donkey. I can't imagine that. But they laughed at automobiles. So forget about the word on the street and go with the word from the Lord. Because the atom bomb for any doubt or unbelief about anything God says is verse 37. We said it a number of times. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible fulfillment. So if you hear a word and you receive that word and it ain't working, it wasn't a word from God. That's why you need to be mindful of the words that you hear. And nothing is like all and every. There isn't anything left out of nothing. If nothing is impossible, that means there isn't anything ever that's impossible for God to do. Period. This young teenager accepted what everyone on earth would consider impossible. Some people probably, can you imagine what people would say about her? I mean, there are a lot of things you can keep secret. It's hard to keep a pregnancy a secret because they're going to notice things. But she didn't forget that the angel told her that she was going to become pregnant and give birth. So, and that what she was going to give birth, that holy thing was going to be called the Son of God. She didn't care what anyone else thought. She didn't care. She had feelings, I'm sure. I'm sure she had emotions. But she had a word from God. And it didn't matter what she felt. Didn't matter what she thought. She had a word from God. And she stuck with that word. But what about Joseph? Another part in there. Matthew 1. Starting at verse 9. Her fiancé, Joseph, this is out of the Passion Translation. Now think about this. Joseph wasn't a homie. Joseph was a righteous man. He wasn't out there. He was a righteous, he was probably living by all the commandments, following all of the Mosaic law. But when he learned of her pregnancy, because he didn't want to disgrace her, he secretly planned to break the engagement. Secretly. That's why you need to allow God to select your mate. Why am I saying that? Because God knows what's going to be required of you down the line. Remember, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Not some things, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. So God had holy plans for Mary. And in order for those plans to be carried out, she had to be with the right person. So God selected a righteous man full of integrity, and he had no desire to disgrace her. No matter how much he may have been hurt by the news, no matter how much he might have been not understanding this whole pregnant by the Holy Ghost stuff, he loved Mary. And he exercised something that hadn't even been stated yet. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, Mary didn't sin, but he didn't know that. Because he only knew of one way someone could get pregnant. And he had the right, under the Mosaic law, to have her stoned to death. Her parents had the right to have her stoned to death. Because the scripture says she played the whore in her father's house. Now, she didn't, but again, that's the only way everybody knew you could become pregnant. But Joseph, he didn't want to do it, and he was hurt, and he's going back and forth with this, and he falls asleep. While he's, but the Passion Translation says, while debating with himself about what to do, he fell asleep and had a supernatural dream. An angel from the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, descendant of David, Don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife. Don't hesitate, folks, to move on what God tells you to do. If you believe it's God and you believe what he said, what's the hesitation? Don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife, because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Savior, for he is destined to give his life to save his people from their sins. This happened to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through his prophet. Being a righteous man, I'm sure Joseph knew this. A virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son. He will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. So you're a good man. You have a solid reputation. And your fiancé is found to be pregnant. And that child was fathered by the Holy Ghost. He could have felt betrayed. He could have felt disgraced. He could have felt embarrassed. He could have wanted to get even. But there's a love message here, folks. Love covers. Love covers. There's too much. All right. Today, we have folks talking loud and doing nothing. We're very good at talking about what's going on in the world. We're very good about talking, you know, what person said this, what person did that, what this nation, we're very good at that. What did God say? What did God say? Remember, I shared with you earlier, I said Adam had rule over everything. And he had the power to stop what was going on, but did not. And allowed the one whom he said he would leave his mother and father for, leave her hanging out there, to sin and die. Joseph was a righteous man. And yet he probably felt betrayed, because before the angel confirmed, that's all he knew. He had the power that would prevent Mary from being stoned to death. He exercised his power because he loved her. These signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. So why are we gathering in groups, knowing what we've been given, knowing what the enemy's doing? Why are we gathering in groups talking about how the devil has control of this, the devil has control of that? If we believe that, if you really believe that, why aren't you operating in the power you were given to stop it? Jesus was very clear. In my name, they shall cast out devils. So why are we complaining about demonic strongholds in our nation? Cast them out. The land of the Gadarenes was a demonic stronghold by one person. What did Jesus do? Went there on purpose to free the man. Joseph had the power to operate in forgiveness, to operate in love, to be a protector, And he chose to go with the power that he had. Not the feelings that he had, not the emotions that he had, the power that he had. He may have thought about, of all the people in the world, to be the father of the Son of God, the angel of God is telling me, God selected me. I think from that point, he didn't care what happened. You think the road they had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem was easy? And you have no help because your wife is pregnant? She can only walk a few steps and she has to sit on a donkey? And you have to deal with the donkey? Because donkeys act like donkeys. They get tired, they're like, you know what? I'm not moving anymore for a bit. And your wife is heavy with child. And not one time does the Bible talk about either one of them complaining. Not one time does the Bible talk about them being afraid. What's going to happen? There are robbers on this road. For with God, nothing shall ever be impossible, and no word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. That's what they had. That's what they had. She shall give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. That's what they had. So I don't care what we're going through, you're going to have the child. And he's going to have the name, and he's going to do what God said he's going to do. That's all that matters. We need to pull that from the Christmas story and put it in our lives. We have to get a full understanding of this. Why don't you write this down? Because Joseph loved Mary. Sin does not eliminate love, but love will always supersede sin. Sin does not eliminate love. Doesn't. So someone sins doesn't mean we stop loving them. And please don't tell me I'm going to exercise tough love. Don't do that. Because God gave me a definition of his tough love. He gave us all that definition. We read it in Genesis. We read it in John. He so loved the world that he gave. So that those who strayed away could come back. So God gave me, several years ago, he gave me the definition of tough love. Tough love is when you encounter someone that does wrong, you get tough and love them the way God said anyway. That's tough love. It's easy to love people from a distance. It's easy to say, I'm going to leave them by themselves until they figure out what they did wrong. Did God do that to us? And we have a title. We have two titles, actually. We're ambassadors for Christ. And every single person who's born again is now a minister of reconciliation. So God ordained everyone, every believer has been ordained a minister of reconciliation. Minister Carlton. Minister of reconciliation. So that means we want to do things that bring people together, not apart. And I saw those principles in reading the Christmas story. Jesus didn't die. He wasn't born to die for some. He was born to die for all. Sin doesn't eliminate love, but love will always supersede sin. Joseph wasn't willing to let her go. He just wasn't willing because he loved her. And he had to make the same choice that Mary made: believe the word of God. Folks, the only other thing I want to share with you is we always talk through born in a manger. You know, now this talk as to what it actually was. You know, was it a cave? Was it a barn? Was it a, you know, that really doesn't matter. What matters is they were in a place that wasn't fit for human habitation. You know you're carrying the Son of God. You want in a palatial type setting, or at least clean bed linen, in a decent room. I never thought of this, never pictured it, until I saw it watching the Chosen Christmas special. And I said to myself watching it, I never gave any thought to that. They were in a stable with animals. They had a feeding trough where the animals would go and eat. When the animals ate, they didn't go banging on the door and say, "Now we have to relieve ourselves. Come take us out." All their droppings was in the stable. You're Joseph or Mary, and you walk in through this door, I'm supposed to deliver in this? Never thought about that. Never thought about that. Where's the shovel? Place where the animals are used to going to eat, you're going to lay your baby. Creatures of habit. That means animals were still going to come there expecting food. And you know you are carrying the Son of God. You're not caring about that because no word from God is without fulfillment. No word. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. So your attitude is, whatever we have to do, whatever we have to go through, whatever we have to tolerate, we're going to do that because we have instructions from God. And God selected us to fulfill his plan to benefit all of mankind. And if God found me worthy, I'm going to act like it and do what he told me to do. What I have to go through doesn't matter. They never griped, they never complained, they never became fearful. But think about this, the last thing I'm going to tell you about the Christmas story. When you have a baby, you allow just anyone to come in your house and breathe all on your baby? You allow strangers to come in. All of a sudden, the birth of Christ is announced. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And you'll go and you'll find the babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. So obviously God wanted them to go, otherwise he wouldn't have given them such detailed information. You're Mary and Joseph, and all of a sudden all these strangers are coming into your house. So David's been saying, "I got to get new curtains. something. But they allowed all of these people to come in. Mary's sitting down wondering, looking at the people, what does all this really mean? Look at how these people are worshiping this child. God was right. Those are three words that should be at the end of every circumstance we ever go through. God was right. God was right. Father, we thank you that not only are you right, you're a right now God. And you let us know, and you're letting us know that you're not operating any differently now than you did back in Genesis. You provide for your people. You give us instructions. You expect us to obey your instructions. And you do more than just give us instructions. You empower us to do exactly what you want us to do. Thank you for helping us know and understand that we are the called ones. Every single believer has a calling on their life. And I'm asking you right now in Jesus' name to illumine the call. Illumine the call, Lord. Illumine the call in the hearts of every single believer. Let it burn in their spirits so that they have no choice other than to do it. To follow the call, to let the call lead them. Because the Holy Ghost is going to keep reminding them, this is what you were called to do. This is where you were called to go. This is where you need to be. And if there's any doubt, impress them to read the Christmas story. And let them know that all that mattered was the gift of God being eternal life. Was God so loving the world that he gave his son, and so that his son could get here legally, unto us a son was born, unto us a child was given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we simply know him as Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's the Christmas story 2021. I hope you saw parallels. I have more notes that I want to share, but I don't have time to share. So I'm sure it'll come out sometime during the ensuing year. But what's important above all things is for all of us to know and understand the same God that called Mary to be the deliverer of the good news, has called us to do the same thing. He didn't say you'd have to have any children. All he said was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And then you go on speaking the word, and he'll go right with you, confirming the word with signs following, signs that will be understandable by you. Just like telling Mary, Elizabeth has been pregnant now for 6 months. Like, at her age, having a baby, and thinking about the ways, she's like, you know, it's like, ooh. Nobody wants to think about their parents now. But the same God, folks, the same God. It's the same devil. So we're dealing with someone who's already beaten down, beaten up. He's here because he lost the fight. And we have the opportunity to keep reminding him that his little backside's already been kicked. But we have the power. Remember, we have the power to effect a change. We have the power to start something or to stop it. We've been given that. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it is what we were commanded, what we were equipped to do. Let's stop standing by, as they say, watching the world go to hell in a handbasket. Because if we do, they're going to hell in a handbasket, we're going to be standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ trying to explain why we let that happen. And I say this usually when we're talking about receiving Christ, but it's true for everything. What is it that we can say to God, to Christ, that's going to cause them to say, oh, I never thought about it that way? Nothing. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy the Christmas story. It's real. But it's not just a story. There are life principles all throughout it. Grab hold of those principles and put them to work in your life. And then watch as the power of the Holy Ghost comes on you and overshadows you. And you produce that which is holy and sinless and in line with God's plan for your life. Is there anyone here? Or in case there's someone online and you've never received Jesus as Savior. Well, at the beginning of the Christmas season, this is a very good time. Actually, any time is the right time if you've never received Christ as Savior. And it's not hard to do. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You make it seem like it's that easy. It is. Deuteronomy 30:11 says, the word that I've given you today is not hard to do. It's not. So let's do it. Everybody say it. Say, Father God, I believe you are God, and I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And after spending 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I'm turning to you and I'm asking you, come into my heart. I want you in my life. I want you to be my life. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance. And I've turned to you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, according to the word of God, if you made that confession and you believed it, and this is your first time doing so, you just got born again. That's only step one. There are other things that you also need to do and need to be made aware of, and we want to get that information to you. There's absolutely no charge for it. All we need you to do, if you're in here, I'd ask you to just wave with some sort of deacon that can see you, and they'll take you to a place and give you that free information. If you're online, follow the contact us information and say, I made that prayer. I said that prayer. I believed it. I'm born again. What's next? And we'll get the information back to you. And as always, especially you folks out there online, because the ones here will come through the line and ask me. But if you have any questions or comments about what we shared today, contact us. The same contact information. Use it. I will respond. I may not do it the same day, but I promise you I will respond to you. But until then...